तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णु गुरुर्देवो महेश्वर गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः।
So, Kapil Bhagwan is discussing yogasya lakshanam vakshe sabijasya. Sabijasya with the form. Yog means dhyan yog. So, Bhagwan Kapil Dev is saying that I will tell you how to meditate on the Lord with a form. Sabijasya with a form. Then in verse number 20, he said, Tasmin labdha padam chittam sarva avayav sastitam. You have chosen your Ishta Devta deity. Here Kapil Bhagwan has chosen Vishnu Bhagwan. Bhagwan Vishnu. So first he says that you see the total form and your mind is fully absorbed there. Once that happens, so bilache ekatra, ekatra sanyujat ange bhagato muni. Then after that you start moving from one limb to another, one limb to another. So first you see the whole form, then after that you start. Starting from where? He said, start with charnarbinda. Charnarbinda means lotus feet. In the lotus feet you see it, all those marks, and you see the mahima of the glory of the lotus feet. Mother Ganges came from there. So we have to see this way, the lotus feet. Then janudvayam, both knees. Then comes uru, two thighs. Then come nabhihridam. Nabhihridam, the lake, navel lake. Nabhi is lake, you know. Our nabhi is hardly 1 inch. Bhagwan's nabhi is lake. Because from that, hriday kamal, the lotus came out. Then vakshaha, chest. Slowly you will find from the feet, Kapil Bhagwan is saying, slowly you go up. Vaksha, then bahun, then kaumudikim. Kaumudikim is the mace. Then malam, whatever is the mala he is wearing. Then badan arbindam, badan is the face now. So from feet we have come to face now. So up to this, up to the verse number 29 we have seen. Then now verse number 30.
यत् श्रीनिकेतनं मलिभिः परिसेव्यमानं भूत्या स्वया कुटिलकुन्तलवृन्दजुष्टं मीनद्वयाश्रयम् अधिक्षिपदब्जनेत्रं ध्यायेत् मनोमयं मतन्द्रित उल्लसद्भ्रु।
यत् मीन्स् दट् फेस्। The discussion is continuing about the face here again. Siriniketa. Siriniketa means a lotus. A lotus. Alibhi. Alibhi means the lotus is surrounded by all the bees. Alibhi. Parisebhyamanam is surrounded. Bhutya, it looks, it's elegant. You know, when you see in a pool of water a lotus surrounded by bees, what is the color of the bees? Black. Black color, surrounded by bees, and it is elegant. Swaya kutil, swaya, now see the face of Bhagwan, How is the Bhagavan face? Kutil Karli Kuntal here. So lotus face. Face is like a lotus. And simile is given like a lotus surrounded by all the bees which are black. Similarly, this the Bhagavan hairs are curly. Karli, Kuntal, Brinda. It's not one, two, multitude. Multitude. Justam Adom. That sight of a lotus surrounded by bees is very beautiful. Similarly, the lotus face of Bhagavan is also adorned with, these hairs are look like bees, you know. So lotus is decorated. So meena dvayam means, now also imagine in that pool of water where from the lotus has come, and meena dvayam, fishes are all around. Try to visualize. There is a pond, in that pond there is water. In the water there is a lotus. On the lotus they are all surrounded by the bees. And in the water, the mean means the fishes are playing there. It's a beautiful scene to see. Now the same thing you are seeing in Bhagavan's face. Face is like lotus and his hairs are like bees surrounded. And these eyes are mean, fish-like. Eyes are mean, fish-like. Meena dvaya, only two, ashram dwelling, adichipat means, adichipat is throwing something, and abjanetram, having lotus eyes, his lotus eyes are like fish, somewhere earlier we have seen his eyes are like a lotus. But again here now it is said they're compared with the fishes. Okay, meanwhile, adichapat. And adichapat means what they do, adichapat. They put to same whom dhyayet. Dhyayet means meditate. Where? Manomaya, in your mind, dhyayet. That form should be meditated upon in our mind. How? Atandrita. Atandrita means you are closing out your eyes. Tandra means nidra. Don't go to sleep. Atandrita, opposite of sleep. That means be attentive. So when you are meditating, be attentive. Don't go to sleep. Atandrita. Ullasat bru. And also see the ullasat, the raised eyebrows also. So adorned with the curly tresses and possessed of lotus-like eyes, the Lord's face, which is further characterized by the raised eyebrows, put to the same by the elegance of the lotus swarming, the comparison with the lotus in the pond and the face of the Lord. So the face of Lord is putting same to that lotus with which it is being compared. With a pair of fists throbbing on it, with an alert mind, he should dwell on a conceptual image of the aforesaid countenance. Manomaya. Manomaya is not an imaginary form. Don't think you will make a form of yours. No. Whatever other bhakta are following, you take that form. Or there are different forms of Vishnu. So you take any one form of Vishnu. And this form can be made of wood, stone, sand, metal, paint, clay, etc. Can be. Okay, next.
Tasyavalokam adhikam kripayati ghora tapatraya upashamanaya nisrishtamaksnoho snidasmitanugunitam vipulaprasadam dhyayechiram vitatabhavanaya guhayam.
Again, a description about the face. Tasya means Bhagavan's. Bhagavan's avalokam. Avalokam means his glance. Bhagavan's glance. Now eyes. His eyes. Adhika kripya is full of compassion. Adhik. Frequent compassion is there. And atighor. Atighor means the most fearful also, which can destroy. Destroy what? Tapatraya, three types of agonies. Now tapatra, you know what is this tapatra. Three type of agony. Upasamanaya. Upasamana, soothing. So his glands will soothe and will remove all tapatra, all agonies. Nisrishtama achanuho. Nisrishtama is the cast. His glands, his cast, his compassion, which is coming out of his eyes. Ikshanam is eyes. Then snidha. Snidha is loving. Smita, smile. Now see his smile. Loving smile of Bhagwan. Anugunitam. Anugunitam means accompanied by. Vipula prasadam. Vipula means abundant. Prasad means glands, full of grace. Vipul prasad is coming out of the prasad. The grace is coming out from the eyes of the Bhagwan. Dhyayit, meditate. Chiram, not for few seconds, for a long time. Chiram, how? Vitata bhavanaya, with devotion. With devotion. Where? Guhayam. Guhayam, in your heart. So, dhyayit, meditate in your heart, that form of the Bhagwan. So with full bhakti, he should contemplate for a long time in his heart on the glances frequently cast out of compassion by his eyes in order to soothe the most fearful threefold agony of his bhakta, tapatraya. Tapatraya vinasaya, satchidananda rupaya vidas. In the invocation we said tapatra. What is this tapatra? Adi daivik, adi bhautik, and adhyatmik. Three types of sorrows. Tapatra vinasaya. Glances which are accompanied by a loving smile and are full of abundant grace. So as long as jeev is this in this material body, he will experience anxiety and agony. As long as we are in this material body, we will suffer. Guaranteed. Whether we are ajnani or jnani. Why we will suffer? Why all will suffer? Because this material body is made of prakriti, and prakriti is always changing and destroying. It's perishable. So anything which is changing and perishable will give us joy. It will give us sorrow. So whether it is a body of a jnani or body of a ajnani, both will experience sorrow. Both will experience. So it is seen sometimes that the agony are immediately removed when the pure bhakta remembers Lord. Suppose the agony has come to you, and at that time you take the name of the Lord. If you are really a bhakta, I am telling you, it will go away immediately. In 1 second it will go away, I tell you. If you are real bhakta, it will happen. Once a Mahatma, he was traveling. So at night he stayed at some place and there were a lot of mosquitoes. And that Mahatma was not able to sleep. So Mahatma prayed to the Lord, if I am not able to sleep at night, how will I perform your puja tomorrow morning? Bhagwan. And in 1 second, all mosquitoes went away. All mosquitoes went away. Not a single mosquito was there. So within 1 second, it can happen. But you have to be true bhakta. I am your bhakta and he will take care of. So eyebrows of the Lord are so charming. No. So his grace is smiling face which is full of compassion for pure bhakta. Next.
Hasam hare ravanata akhila loka tibra shokasru sagara vishosanam ati udaram sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya bhrumandalam munikrite makaradhvajasya.
Hasam hare. Hasam means the smile. Smile of whom? Hari. Hasam hare. Smile of hari. Avanat. Avanat means one who has surrendered, one who has bowed to Bhagwan Hari. Avanat. Akhila loka. Akil lok means all. Lok means all people, all person. Intense, tibra, sok. Tibra means intense grief. Intense grief. Asru sagar, an ocean of tears. Your grief is so much that you are shedding tears. So much. Asru sagar. Visosanam, it will dry up. Asru sagar, visosanam. Sosan, sosan means dry up. Visosan, totally dry up. Visosanam, ati udaram, most benevolent. The smile of Bhagavan remove your intense sorrow. And asru sagar, all will dry up. And sammohanaya rajatam nijamaya yasya. Sammohanaya, and it will, by his charm, it will overpower whom makar dvajasya, last word is makar dvajasya, god of sense pleasure, Kamdev. And this, what is this? Rachitam nijamayaya, rachitam manifested. Nijamaya, by his own maya. What is that? Bhrumandalam, arched eyebrows, munikrite. Munikrite, for the good of Muni. For the good of Muni. Makar dvajasya, the god of sense enjoyments, Kamdev. So he should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Srihari, a smile which dries away the ocean of tears caused by the intense grief of all those who bow to him, as well as on his arched eyebrows manifested by dint of his maya, in order to charm the god of love for the good of Muni. So thus world is dukkhalay. We all set tears out of intense grief. Bhakt who surrenders to the Lord, for him ocean of tears dries up. Such bhakt sees only the smile of Bhagwan. So whenever we feel any sorrow, what should we do? What should we do? We should go to Bhagwan, see his smile. See his smile. So eyebrows of the Lord are so charming that the bhakt forget the charms of sense objects. At this point of time, the sense object, they all attract us. But seeing the eyebrows of the Bhagwan and meditating on that, we will all forget the sense objects. So jeev is bound by the sense objects. The god of sense object is called Makardhvaja or Kamdev. So charming eyebrows protect bhakta from the onslaughts of by the Makardhvaja. Meditating on that, eyebrows of Bhagwan, we can withdraw from the sense objects. Next.
Dhyanayanam prahasitam bahuladharoshtha bhasarunayita tanu dvijakunda pankti dhyaye swadeha kuhare avasitasya vishnoho bhaktyardaya pitamanana prithak dadrikshet.
Dhyanayanam, easily meditated. Dhyanayanam, it can be easily meditated. Prahasitam, laughter. Bahula adharoshta, bahula adharoshta, abundant. Adhi adharoshta, other lips. Now on the lips, from the smile you come to the lip. Then bhasa, see the splendor, splendor of the lips. How is that? Arunayitat. Arunayitat is rendered roji. The lips are roji. Okay. Then tanu. Tanu means the small. Tanu means Bhagwan is smiling. And you see the lips are a little bit roji. And at time, tanu, you see small. What small things you are seeing? Dvija. Dvija means what? Teeth. Dvij means twice born. Brahman is twice born. When the Upanayan happens, it is the, taken as the second birth. Our teeth also are dvij, twice born. Dvij. And how that? Kunda pankti. Kunda pankti. Kunda pankti. is the row. Row of what? Jasmine buds. It's not jasmine flower, jasmine buds. It's not yet open. So, though each tooth is representing one jasmine bud. Dhyaye should meditate. Swadeha kuhare, swadeha apna deha. Kuhare in the heart. In your heart. Abhisitasya. Abhisitasya means Bhagwan is residing inside. He is already with us. So we have to meditate in our heart. Who is that Bhagwan? Vishnu. You can take Shiva, you can take any other Ishtadevta, whatever. That Bhagwan is residing in us. Vishnu. Bhaktya, with devotion we have to do. Ardrayarpitamana. Ardrayarpitamana means step in love. It should not be forcibly you are doing this thing, meditating. No. With love. And mana, mind, arpit mana, mind should be fixed. Na, not. Prithak dritichet. Prithak means don't see any other thing. Dritichet means to see. Drikshet, prithak, other than Bhagwan, don't see anything. In dhyan, what we are supposed to do? Not to see any sense object, other things. Prithak. Na prithak drikshet. So with bhakti steeped in love and affection, the yogi should meditate within the core of his heart upon the laughter of Lord Vishnu. The laughter of Vishnu is so captivating that it can be easily meditated upon. When the Lord is laughing, one can see his small teeth, which resemble jasmine buds, rendered rosy by the splendor of his lips. Rosy lips, it is being reflected on the shining teeth. That has become also a little bit rosy. Once devoting his mind to this, yogi should no longer desire to see anything else. When you are seeing the teeth of Bhagwan, don't think of anything else at that time. Next.
Evam harau bhagavati pratilabdha bhavah bhaktya dravadadhritaya utpulaka pramodat outkantya bashpakalaya muhurarthamanah. Tachapi chitta bari samsana kair viyungte.
Evam is thus. Harau Srihari Bhagavati, mana Bhagwan Srihari, pratilabdha bhava. Pratilabdha bhava mana developed. I have developed bhava. What is this bhava? Prem, love. In this way, when I am seeing the Lord from his toe to his smile, teeth, lips and everything, what will happen? Developed pratilabdha bhava, pure love will develop. Bhaktya and a devotional service. Dravatar hridaya. Dravatar hridaya is the melting hridaya. The heart will be melting. Utpulak. What will happen? Horripilations. Utpulak, horripilations. Pramodat and excessive joy. Outkantasya and then occasional baspakalaya. Baspakalaya, the tears will flow out of love. Out of love. Muhur, constantly, then ardhamana, being afflicted. Tatcha api, that chitta, that mind. Badisim is the hook. Badisim is the hook. Like a hook attracts a fish in the pond. Similarly, our mind will be attracted to the Lord. Lord, sanakai gradually, byungte. Byungte means mind will be drawn from the object and it will be attracted to Bhagwan. So this is realization of divine. Meditation on the form is now over. From 34 to 44 till the end of this chapter, it is realization of divine. So by following this course, yogi gradually develops pure love for Sri Hari. In Narad Bhakti Sutra also we have seen, what is this bhakti? Param prema rupa, param prema, intense love will come. In the course of his progress in bhakti, the hairs of his body stand erect. Through excessive joy, and he is constantly bathed in the tears occasioned by the intense love. Gradually, the mind, which he used as a means to attract the Lord, as one attracts fish to hook, withdraws from the material activity. Thakur Ramakrishna used to say, if by taking the name of the Lord, horripilation happens and the tears comes out of your eyes, know you are very close to Bhagwan. You are reaching Bhagwan. Janke rakho. These are the signs. When I will understand that my bhakti is maturing, you will understand that your bhakti is maturing, that when you are sitting for puja, tears rolls out of love. Horripilation happens. In beginning, mind is to be employed to attract Bhagwan. First we have to put in effort. But in parabhakti, you don't have to do anything. In parabhakti, nothing is to be done. It will automatically happen. There is no question of using mind. Bhakta becomes accustomed to serve Lord. You are continuously serving Lord only. So in the beginning, efforts is required. But later on, bhakta need not sit for the meditation also. Why? Now he is seeing everywhere. Everywhere Bhagwan is there. Then how he will serve Bhagwan? Now he will serve Bhagwan. Each person is Bhagwan only serving. That person is also serving Bhagwan. In this way he will serve. So when the mind is forcibly engaged upon the Lord, it is called Nirbij Yoga. Lifeless Yoga. Jor se kar raha hai. Some Mahatma says this is Nirbij Yoga. Forcibly you are doing. And when it is effortless, it automatically goes there, engages in the service of the Lord. It is called Sabij Samadhi. It is effortless. Thus one should engage himself for 24 hours in a day in the service of the Lord. 24 hours in a day in the service of the Lord does not mean that you will have to sit in the front of Bhagwan only doing puja. Now you are seeing Bhagwan everywhere. Now you are seeing Bhagwan everywhere and you are serving 24 hours a day. In Narad Bhakti Sutra also we find some indication about the sattvic emotions of a pure bhakt. Sattvic emotions of a pure bhakt. Kanthavarodha, choking of your throat. Kanthavarodha, romancha, horripilation, asrubhihi, tears rolling out. Paraspar lapmanaha. Paraspar lapmanam, when we are meeting another bhakta, you are talking about bhakti only. You are talking about Bhagwan only. Paraspar lapmana. Pavayanti kulani. Such people sanctify or purify their own family. Not only kulani, but prithvicha, also the earth. So we find similar thing in Narad Bhakti Sutra also. Next.
Muktasrayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam nirvanam ricchati manasahasa yathachihi atmanamatra purushaya vyavadhanam ekam anvekshate pratinivritta guna pravaha.
Muktasrayam, asray, where he is seated is mukta, liberated, muktasray. Now the result of bhakti is coming slowly. What will happen? Mukta asraya, you are liberated. Yarahi, at which time? Nirvishayam. Nirvishayam means detached from sense object. Vishaya means sense object. Nirvishayam means detached from sense object. Viraktam the vairagya, indifferent. Nirvanam means extinction. What is this? Richati. Richati means obtains. Mana sahasa. Mana, mind. Sahasa, all of a sudden. All of a sudden you will find the mind is no more there. Mind is no more there. Like yatha archi, like a flame. Like a flame in a lamp. So long the oil is there, flame is there. The moment oil is over, what happens? That flame extinguishes. Nirvana. Where flame has gone? Flame has gone to the fire from where it came. Khatam ho gaya. Similarly, the mind, also stops there. It ends there. Where it goes? It goes to its own source. In Vedanta, we know Suddham is there, Aham Vritti is there, Idam Vritti is there. When Aham Vritti, Idam Vritti both ends, Vritti is mind, flow of thought. What is mind? Mind is a flow of thought. And thought are two types, Aham Vritti, Idam Vritti. When these Vritti stop, what will remain there? Aham. Suddham is there. Similarly, here also the same thing is said. When we are meditating on the form of the Lord, all of a sudden you will see that the mind has absorbed. It's gone. Yatharchi Atmanam. Atmanam is the mind here. Atra. Atra means at this time. Purusaha. Purusam is the person. Abhyavadhanam. Abhyavadhanam. Without separation. Ekam. One. There is no more separation. Ekam. Anavikshate. Anavikshate means he experiences. Mind is absorbed. He has become one with that Bhagwan. Pratinibhritta. Pratinibhritta means the freed. Freed from what? Guna prava. From the guna prakriti. Dekho, the mind is absorbed. No more vritti. All vrittis are prakriti only. All vrittis are prakriti only. So he has reached the soul. Even as the flame of a lamp is extinguished. Extinguished means what? It becomes one with the cause. What is the cause? It is fire. When the oil, etc. are burned and the lamp is broken, so the mind gets immediately dissolved, become one with Bhagwan. When we meditate, all of a sudden you will find our mind is no more. Mind is no more. It is gone. Then you have already reached that state. The moment it is cut up from its moorings in the shape of soul, rid of the passion, it ceases to think anything. The mind is no more thinking of anything. The adjuncts of the soul in the shape of body, adjunct means upadhi. Upadhi, that means sarir is upadhi. Body being withdrawn at this stage, we are not thinking about body or anything else. We have withdrawn from there. The bhakta sees pervading everywhere, the one absolute, having no distinction of subject and object. That means triputi rahitam. So when I started, what was the form? What was the state? I was meditating on whom? On the form of the Lord. And there was a process going on, meditating. I am meditator. Meditating on the sagun form of the Bhagwan. Now mind is absorbed. Mind has gone back to its source, meaning there is no more meditator. There is no process of meditating. What remains? Only Bhagwan. So I have merged with the Bhagwan. So sankalpa vinkalpa atmaka mana. Sankalpa vinkalpa atmaka mana. In Tattvabodhi, we find the definition of mind. Mind habitually roams into material things, sense objects. Sattvic, rajasic and tamasic objects it roams. That is in the world. It must be turned toward the Lord with the effort. So we need effort because it is habituated to go outside. The moment it is alive, it goes out. So by effort, what we have to do? By effort, we have to turn that mind toward the Bhagwan. Their effort is needed. In that state, there is no other vritti than the Lord. And when it is turned toward the Lord, and it absorbs in the Lord, no more vrittis. No idam vritti, no aham vritti. It is called nirvana. Making mind one with the Lord. It is called nirvana. The meaning of nirvana is the extinction, bujana, pradeep ka bujh jana. This is nirvana. That means shanti. Earlier, Arjun refused to fight war and Lord wanted him to fight. There was a disagreement, but after hearing Lord, 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, same Arjun. Now he has become devotee of Bhagwan. Devotee of Bhagwan? Now he's saying, whatever you say, I will do. Bhagwan said, you fight? And he started fighting. That means what? He is serving Lord. See? Even with the open eyes and acting in the world, acting for whom? Now he's acting for Bhagwan. See? This is the difference. So mind has become one with the Bhagwan and ready to serve Lord. Jeev always acts in the world, whereas the Nibrit Gun Prabha, freed from the Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic world, has no other activity other than to serve Bhagwan. No other vritti is there. He has no personal desire. This is called Nirvana Mukti. When there is no personal desire, I am serving Lord, that's all, khatam. Aur nahi kuch karna hai mere ko. Yatharchi, when the oil is exhausted, flame goes back to its source, that is fire. Similarly, the mind, when the mind stops functioning, then the sattvic, rajasic, tamasic world, perceived as idam vritti and aham vritti, goes back to its source. What is the source of aham vritti and idam vritti? Suddham. It goes back there. Next.
Sopetaya charamaya manaso nivritya tasmin mahim nyavasita sukha dukkha baye he tuptamapya sati kartari dukkha yoryata swatman vidattu palapta paratma kashtaha.
Saha means that yogi, api moreover, etaya by this, charmaya ultimate, manasa, mind, nibritya means cessation of all worldly activities, by cessation of all material reaction, tasmin in his, mahimna means ultimate glory, mahima of Lord, mahimna, avasita means now he is situated there, sukha dukkha baye, and outside. Outside is sukha and dukkha. Outside sukha and dukkha means so long we are associated with the world, it is outside. And this outside world gives me sukha and dukkha. Hetutvam means the cause. Api, asati. And then api means indeed. Asati means the jnana karya, all the effect of ignorance. Kartari means the ego. Dukkha and sukha, yata which, swatmana, own self, vidhatta, attributes, upalabdha, realize, paratmakashta, highest truth. He realizes the highest truth. So having established himself in his own self, Brahman, which transcends the joy and sorrow, when we reach that Brahman, no more there is worldly joy and sorrows. And how it has happened? Through the dissolution of his mind. How he dissolved his mind? By meditating on the Lord. Brought about by the yoga abhyas. It has to be practiced for a long time. Earlier also Bhagwan has said yoga abhyas. This yoga abhyas is done for a long time. And divorced from ignorance. Now no more ignorance. Agyan gaya. The striver realizes the truth. The moment the world or the mind absorbs, take a dip in that source, what will happen? He realizes the truth. What is that truth? Satchidananda. Advayam. He comes to know that. And discover the sukha and dukkha as well as their experiences, which was attributed till now to the self. We are experiencing sukha and dukkha outside. And we say, it is the sukham dukkha of atma. We always say that is Atma, but if we little bit discriminate, we will find that the sukha and dukkha are always in mind. Always. How will you prove that sukha and dukkha are in mind, not in Atma? Go to deep sleep. In the deep sleep, there is no dukkha, no worldly sukha. Why? Mind is not there. Atma is there in deep sleep. Atma is there in the deep sleep. Had the sukha been related to atma, then in the deep sleep also we would have experienced sukha and dukkha. But we don't experience sukha and dukkha in deep sleep. Why? Because mind is absent. Therefore, sukha dukkha is related to mind. But ignorance, in ignorance we say, kiska sukha dukkha hai? Atma ka sukha hai. I am sukhi. Are your mind is sukhi and dukhi, not you. You are Brahman. You are Satchidanand. It is the mind which is experiencing sukha and dukkha. Okay. So, ajnan is not knowing our eternal true nature. What is ajnan? Many times we know. It is not the ajnan like I have got no knowledge of computer. I am ajnani. I will say ajnani in computer. But here when we in the scripture we say ajnan, ajnan means what? Not knowing our true nature. I am Brahman, we don't know. I am Paramatma, we don't know this thing. This is ajnan. But we are required to serve Bhagwan. Why? Mabai vanso jivaloke. I am the ans, I am the part of Bhagwan. And as a part is supposed to serve the whole. Is it not so? In an engine or in a car, there are many parts. Steering is there, your door is there, engine is there, bonnet is there, and lots of things are there. So each part is serving whom? The whole car. Is it not so? If I am Ansa of Bhagwan, am I not supposed to serve the whole? Who is this whole? Whole Jagat is Bhagwan only. I am supposed to serve Bhagwan. So, but in ajnan, what happens? We get associated with anatma. We get associated. In ignorance, we do all these things. But when the mind is purified, we come to know about that Bhagwan, then we will start serving Bhagwan. Once we come to know about that Bhagwan, then we will serving Paramatma. So who is this Paramatma? Paramatma is beyond the sukh-dukh of the world, of this world. This world is a dukkhalay, Bhagwan has said. And sukh and dukh we have to experience. Who is experiencing? This is the false ego. Our ego. Where is this ego? Antakaran. Mana buddhi chitta ahankar. So this ego is experiencing in mind all the sukh and dukh. But when the worldly desire ends, in sthita pragya lachanisam prajahati yada kaman sarvan parthamano gatan. When the worldly desire ends, will it ever end? Do you agree? It will end. When the sthita pragya says, prajahati yada kaman sarvan, how it will end? It will end when you come to know that I am thinking that this object, this person, this being is giving me sukh, and you come to know that they don't have any content of sukh, and once you come to know the source of all sukh, once you come to know the all source of sukh, will you run to that person, being an object, in search of petty sukh? You will not. Therefore, it is possible. Prajahati yadaka. Why kamana is there in us? Kamana is there for sukh only, na? Our each kamana, each desire, we want sukh only. Nobody wants dukkha. We want sukh only. So each desire, the content, the thing, the motive, the attitude behind it, I should get sick, sukh out of this. Therefore, I am going to the world again and again for sukh, 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 sukh. But those are all petty sukh. Once I come to know the source of all sukh, will I run to the petty sukh then? No, I will not run. But don't think that Mahatma will not go and eat. He will again go and beg. Bhikshaam Dehi. Why? To keep his body. That's all. Thus he gets the Upalabdha Paratmakashta. When the jeev becomes nibritta from the material world, he realizes oneness with the Lord, the source of all sukha. Akhandanand Maharaj says, to become Mahatma, you need vairagya and bhakti. To become Mahatma, you need vairagya and bhakti. Bhakti toward the Lord and vairagya from the world. But to become Paramatma, what do you need? Only knowledge of self. That's all. So it is more difficult to become Mahatma. It is easier to become Paramatma. How? Only knowledge. Are you are Brahman, only this much is to be told. That's all. Aham Brahmasmi. Tattvamasi. Next.
Deham chatam na charama sitamuttitamba siddho hi pashyati adodhamagat swarupam daivadupetam atha daivam avashad apetam vaso yatha parikritam madiramadantha.
Deham, body. Now, what is his vision? What is his thinking about his own body? Deham. Cha, tam, that, na, not, charama, last. Sthitam, this day is sitting. Uttitam, day is rising. Va, siddha, siddham is the realized soul. Vipassati can see, yata, because, adhyagamat means achieved, swaswarupam. Once he has realized his swaswarupam, his own true nature, what is his attitude toward his own body, whether it is sitting or rising? Daivat means as per the destiny. Upetam means arrived, atha, moreover, daivavasat, according to the destiny, apetam means departed. Baso means cloth, yatha means as, parikritam, put on, madiramadandha. Blinded by the intoxication. Simple thing is like, Madhiranda, one person is intoxicated. He is lying in the gutter. At that time, he has got no idea whether he is putting on his clothes or not, whether it is at proper place or not. He doesn't know. Similarly, once he has realized what will happen to his body, it is just like a clothing. Whether it is sitting, standing, or this and that, he is not concerned. Like that. So just as the intoxicated person cannot understand whether or not he has clothing on his body, so the enlightened soul no longer discerns whether the body is seated or has risen from the seat, whether it has shifted by the will of Devta or has come back by will of the Devta. He has realized his essential nature and character. So once the mind is fully engaged with the Lord, a person forgets his material body demands. Ab bhul gaya, this is like a dress. Whether it is there or not doesn't matter. Guruji says, once a person is established in the nirvish samadhi or nirvikal samadhi, then he forgets about his bodily demands. It is natural, once I go beyond my body, senses and mind, then I am no more concerned, I am no more thinking, I am not aware of my body, mind and senses. Like a drunkard lying in the drain, forgets about his body, clothing and atmosphere, same way, samadhistha or reveling in Atman forgets about the deha, geha, mind. Even the eyes are open even at that time also. They don't care about their own dress and all that. And people have very clearly seen in the life of Bhagavan Ramakrishna, whether his body is fully covered or not covered, he is not aware of that. Next.
Dehopi daiva avashada khalu karma yavat swarambhakam prati samikshata eva sasuhu tam saprapancham madhirura samadhi yoga swapnam punarna bhajate pratibuddha vastuhu.
Deha api, deha body, api moreover, daiva vasaka, under the control of devta. You see, even after realization, the body will be there, and this body will be working according to the prarabdha. It will all happen. Deva vasaka, khalu, indeed, karma activity, yavat, as much as, swarambakam, begun by himself. Pratisamichita, continue to function, eva sasu, certainly along with the senses. Even after realization, when you are aware of this world, this whole body will be functioning, all with the senses. It's not that the mind of a jnani is no more there. It's not like that. Only his agyan has gone. Only agyan has gone. Tam body, saprapancha, with prapancha, adhirura samadhi yoga, adhirura situated, in samadhi, by practice, swapnam, born in dream, punarna bhajate. Like a dream body. You know, when we are dreaming, we have got another body, dream body. In Jagrit Avastha, it is another body. So when we come out from the dream to the Jagrit Avastha, we are no more concerned with the dream body. Dream world or dream body and the dreamer, we are no more concerned, we don't think. Similarly, this Mahatma, even in the Jagrit Avastha, where is he situated? He has gone beyond Jagrit Avastha. Beyond Jagrit Avastha means he has gone to the Turiya Avastha. So there are four Avasthas, no? One is Jagrit Avastha, Swapna Avastha, and Susupti Avastha. Three Avasthas are there. So this Mahatma who has realized, now he is in the fourth state, Turiya Avastha. When you reach in the Turiya Avastha, in the fourth state, you will find that this body of the Jagrat is also like we consider as the Swapna body, Swapna Sari. At this point of time, we think this is very real, this Jagrat Sari is very real. But Swapna Sari, dream body, when we come out from the dream body to the Jagrit, then we say dream body is false. Similarly, this body also becomes false. For whom? For that Mahatma who has reached to the Turiya state. The body too subject to the will of Devata survives along with the senses till the prarabdha. Till the prarabdha, body will remain. He has to experience both dukkha and sukha is reaped. Yet the enlightened soul who has attained the truth in nirvikal samadhi, in yoga, no longer regards his body and those connected with it. Very strong statement. He don't regard his own body as his own, and all those people who are related to this physical body, meaning his wife or husband or children. He considers his bodily activities to be like the activities of a body in dream. It is like a swapna, it is acting, let it act. I am different from this body. So people ask whether the bodily activities affect a jivan mukta. Is he contaminated by actions or reactions? So this verse explains that the body is acting, reacting because of the past action prarabdha. Even after becoming jivan mukta, prarabdha will be there. According to the prarabdha, I will be suffering or enjoying. With an example, we can, like a fan. When we turn it on, it is moving. The moment you turn it off, what happens? Still, for some time, the blade will be rotating. Why? Because of the prarabdha association, na? Because of the prarabdha association with the electricity, it is still moving. So in dream, we take different bodies as per vasana, but when we come to jagrat, we say they are all false. Same way, one who realizes and thinks this gross body, subtle body as false, and as that of his swapna, he is no more concerned with the body. He knows this is my prarabdha.
यथा पुत्राच्च वित्ताच्च पृथंग मर्त्य प्रतीयते अप्यात्मतेन अभिमतात् देहादे पुरुषस्तथा
यथा मीन्स एज पुत्राच्च फ्रॉम सन वित्ताच्च फ्रॉम वेल्थ पृथंग मर्त्य प्रतीयते पृथंग मर्त्य मीन्स डिफरेंटली फ्रॉम द मॉर्टल मैन दे आर ऑल डिफरेंट पुत्र एंड वित्त. But we get so much identified with the putra and vitta. Putra means the son. Vitta means the wealth. A putra is gone somewhere, it seems that I have lost everything. If the vitta is gone, if the wealth is gone, what happens? You go, sab kuch chala gaya, kuch bhi nahi hai. Because it's identified. Api atmatvena. Api means even, atma tattvena, by the nature, abhimatat means for which one has affection, deha ade means the body, adi means mind, senses, etc., purusa tatha means liberated souls, similarly, tatha means similarly. So because of the great affection for family and wealth, one accepts his son and wealth as his own. Once I get identified with anything, I think this is my atma. If that is lost, I think that I am also lost. And due to the affection with the body, one thinks that it is his body's atma. This is our state. We think body's atma. But by vichar, one can understand that the family and the wealth are different from him. By vichar, they are different from me. How do you vichar? How do you make discrimination? Don't you say, my son, my child? If you say, my son, my child, is it not different from you? My wealth, different from me. Similarly, my body. It is easy to understand my wealth and my child. They are different from me. But the moment I will say, my body, my mind, my body, my mind is also different from me. The liberated soul can understand that he and his body are the same. Me and my body, they are two different things. So we call our hand, legs, my hand, my mind, my legs, out of affection, but they are all different from me.
पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरि ओम् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम्.